Hello and welcome to the Luke Miller podcast. This is really meant to be one of those midweek devotions where we're able to go through different aspects of scripture, take a look at it a little more in depth, and I hope it's kind of a way for us to lead into the weekend as we study God's word together. We've been going through worship, and we arrived at that after going through prayer. And looking at the Psalms and understanding just exactly how the Psalms were functioning, and as very much that praise. And we found ourselves taking a look then at worship. And for us, worship so often revolves around music. And if we think of Sunday mornings and a worship service, we kind of talked last week that rather than worship service, we really need to think of our life as a service of worship in everything that we do, you know, and that means on Sunday morning, whether it's announcements, preaching, it's offering, it's singing, of course, and us gathering together. But it's more than those Sundays, right? And we've really talked a lot about the fact of worship being this verb and what it means for us to be living sacrifices. True worship is presenting ourselves as living sacrifices to God and living holy and pleasing lives every day of the week, right? And we gather together to worship God on Sundays, or we gather online to worship God on Sundays as we take a look and figure out what this means for us. But what does it look like the rest of the week when we all scatter from the church or scatter from our own homes? And I mean, we're living in a time where our weeks don't look the same as they did 5 months ago. But what does everywhere worship look like? And worship as a way of life or a lifestyle of worship. We're not designed to operate on a weekly worship cycle, but rather to run on a 24/7 worship lifestyle. Now, and there's a clear difference between that, in that. I remember doing youth, and there was a clear difference when I was running youth, and youth leaders will be able to tell you this, because all of a sudden we pay very close attention to semantics of it all, is there's a difference when you're running a youth program, and you want to do an all-nighter, and you want to do a overnighter. For those of you not picking up on it, one suggests that you are going to be up all night. The other, by its statement, suggests, yes, it will be over a time period that will include night, but sleep can be involved, which is the one that I prefer, at least at this season of my life. So for us with worship, it's really important that when we looked at Romans chapter 12 last week, that we realize that we are not designed to operate on this weekly worship cycle of just Sundays. But rather, it is this 24/7 worship lifestyle. And we're challenged to really think that, since God's desire is to make us into the image of his son, it makes sense for us to serve like he served as well, to look for needs, to serve in whatever ways that we can. And I wanted to take some time and take a look at music today. We've spent 4 weeks now looking at genuine worship and what that looks like. And I think that it's important for us to eventually touch upon worship and music. Now, I haven't just said worship music. I've said worship and music, because that's really also, not to get into semantics, but that's also, we're going to discuss that. And this is going to be over two parts. This week, we're going to do some definitions as we look at some different Psalms and a few different places. And really get that terminology of what worship looks like with music in the Bible. And next week, we're going to be joined with our very own Rachel Jackson, and her and I are going to be discussing even the practical aspects of it. I'm really looking forward to it, and we've talked about this a lot over the last while. Rachel Jackson and I rarely have a short conversation. Anytime one of us says, you know, do you've got 5 minutes to chat, we usually, I think, block off an hour. And so because music is such not only a lightning rod, but such a discussed aspect of worship, right? And when I think of what music brings to worship in its role, there's a lot, but we have to come with those foundations, which we've talked about over the last couple episodes. Psalm 95, 6, when we talked about, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. You know, and our emphasis is on the place of music in bowing before God in worship as we proclaim his name, his works, and his worthiness. One of my favorite quotes, and I will definitely talk about Martin Luther a little bit next week, and I'm sure Rachel will as well, is understanding that Martin Luther has this great quote, which is, the devil takes flight at the sound of music just as he does at the words of theology. And after theology, you know, I think one of the highest places and the greatest honors comes through music. And Bach himself believed that music was refreshment of the spirit and a powerful tool for proclaiming the proclamation of the gospel. Ultimately, he believed that music brought glory to God, and that's why the initials, this is a fun fact for all of us, Solio Deo Gloria, which means to God alone be the glory, are found at the end of most of Bach's scores, right? And in the initials appear at the top of many of his scores of music as well. The initials JJ appear, right? Which means Jesus Juva, or Jesus Juva. Well, that's not Latin, so I'll go with my original one, which means Jesus help us. And that's how he starts off. That's at the top of Bach's scores, right? And at the bottom, to God alone be the glory. And it's a great picture just in using Bach as an example here with music, is notice how he even starts off. Like, he starts off his symphonies and all the great orchestrations with Jesus help us. And once this beautiful masterpiece comes into existence of what he composes, he finishes with, to God alone be the glory. He asks God for help, and then at the end of it, it's God give the glory. I think it's a fun fact in this, as far as taking a look at what this means for us with music, right? And next week we'll do a brief history of church music and music in the church, and take a look at that. But one thing that we see from Scripture is a few characteristics of what music looks like, which is music is so powerful, right? And I think any of us, you know, most of us can agree to that, right? Psalm 62:1 says, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him, right? And just that this bedrock of this psalm and of this music is all about salvation. One of my great great passages that I love reading when it comes to music and the power of music in Scripture is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 13 to 14. Which says, the trumpeters and the singers joined in unison as with one voice to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and other instruments, they raised their voices and praise to the Lord and sang, he is good, his love endures forever. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And what I get from this Second Chronicles passage is that when music is filled with praise, that God's glory is very evident. And it is not just something that is for for Sundays. And it's not just something that we can pass over. I mean, and it's not just something that is Old Testament, right? Like, this is Second Chronicles, and they're talking about this. And a little fun fact for some of you, I think most of you don't know this, is, I mean, I play the trumpet. I played the trumpet. I'll use past tense. That's probably the best way to describe it. I played trumpet all through high school, and I almost went to university for performance trumpet when I had graduated. And I have to emphasize that this was a long, long time ago. Just in case anyone listening to this is getting any funny ideas about a trumpet concert or anything like that. Yes, the trumpeters are mentioned first here. But it says the trumpeters and singers joined in unison. But here's what they're singing, right? He's good and his love endures forever. And the moment praise is evident, then we get to our next statement, which is, then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. I mean, what a picture that is presented here, right? Not just any small picture, but the priests could not perform the service because the glory of God and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. I mean, at that point, I think when the glory of the Lord has filled the temple, you know that you are doing something right and what's going on is right. But it shows how powerful it is. And I mean, if there's one thing that I want us to take away from this whole podcast and Devo is very much that when music is filled with praise, God's glory is very evident. And music is personal, right? What I like is probably different than what you like. I use an example of this with my dad, who is very fond of Kentucky bluegrass, which I don't even define as a type of music. I put it in the category, same category as yodeling. I think we all tend to prefer certain styles and types of music. And it's because music is so personal. We can take things personally when criticisms come towards ours, although I don't know how, I'm not going to go into a Kentucky bluegrass rant, which I can feel myself already starting to go to down that path, right? But music is very personal. The Psalms tell us that music is personal. These are not just corporate songs that they are singing in the temple, but these Psalms are also individual ones of lament and of people pouring out their soul to God and asking for help, yet also praising with every ounce in their body of his greatness and who he is. And we live very much in a time where music is so pervasive that we can go anywhere today and we will hear music. It's saturated, whether it's in grocery stores or malls or elevators. It's almost omnipresent where we find ourselves, right? It's everywhere. But the key thing here is that music must be used for praise. In when we talk about worship and we talk about music, that's how it must be, whether it is us playing it, whether it is us singing it. And the challenge for us is really not just to have music as a background noise, but actually praising God and singing. It's so easy for us to treat music as entertainment and as entertainment or something to be performed rather than something to be experienced and entered into by every member of a congregation, voices uniting in praise of God. Psalm 150 is a great picture of this. I said we'd be bouncing around a few psalms where Psalm 150 in verse 6 declares that everyone who has breath should be just busting out in praise. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Now, you'll remember, of course, that I've mentioned that whenever you see a repeated phrase, especially in Hebrew, it's like adding an exclamation point. So we see praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And so let everything that has breath praise the Lord, capital letters, exclamation point on this. Psalm 130 says that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. Music is part of our praising, and that's an imperative thing. It's not optional. We're called to be joyful about it in Psalm 98. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into a jubilant song with music, right? And so it should be pointed out that playing instruments to God is also a requirement as stated in Psalm 150, just as a side note from this. And we talked about this in the Second Chronicles passage a little earlier, but praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Oh, there's those trumpets again coming out first. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings of the flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. And praise him with the resounding cymbals. Now, actually, I'll just get into it here with a little bit of fun Hebrew. Is even though the trumpet finishes first, usually it gradually moves towards the most important one, which I am equally proud of. Because that is the clash of cymbals and the praise of resounding cymbals. So the drummer in me is also very happy with this passage as it builds towards what I think is the also one of the most important instruments of all of this. But let me, before we wrap up, because we've talked a lot about the role of music, right? And in next week, again, we've been defining some stuff. But music and worship, we also have to be careful of, right? Music is not preeminent. And what I mean by that is music is not identical with worship, but is important to worship, okay? Music is not the most important. The work of Christ on the cross is. And I think that's something very important for us to understand. Music can inspire worship, but music itself is not inspired. Only Scripture is. And that's something that we really have to focus on and remember, right? And I guess even if we're talking about styles, which I know we will next week, is we can't allow worship to happen, I guess we could say it using the same word twice, by allowing us just to one type of music to be something that we only gravitate to. Music matters, but worship matters more. That's really the end of it, right? I've heard the phrase that worship is not dependent on music, but rather on the finished work of Christ. And I think that's what we want to focus on. The other thing is worship has to be genuine. And we've spent some time in this, but if we want to understand music in its role with worship, Isaiah 29 is a great example of it. And it's verse 13 that says, "These people come near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." And Isaiah is telling the people of Israel to check our hearts. They're saying check their hearts as they're worshiping, because their mouths are honoring God, but their hearts are very far from him. And so I think that for us, and looking at what this means day in and day out, yeah, as this lifestyle of worship, as this 24/7 worship, not just a worship cycle of that happens on Sundays, we have to really ask ourselves, not that we're pretending, but that where are our hearts as we worship God? Prepare our hearts, you often hear worship leaders say, and that is a very good statement to make, right? Because this Isaiah passage says there's times when God is not pleased with our praises, when it's empty-hearted, when it's just words coming out of our mouths. And I know that there are times when I arrive at church on Sunday and I'm reading the words of the song and I am having a tough time singing it because I'm just not in that place. And I think that that is okay as well, because God would rather that than just me saying the words and my heart being far from Him. At least that's what I get from our Isaiah passage, right? And as we finish up on this, I'll just leave us with Hebrews 13:15, because remember, this is part one of two. And if you know me by now, part one of two means actually really part one of four, probably. And if you know me now, then you know part one of four probably means, you know, part one of eight. But Hebrews 13:15 says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of the lips that confess His name. Praise is sometimes a sacrifice, meaning it's not easy. But notice that we're not just to sing, we're called to share with those around us, because in the very next verse it says, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. So you can see praise even takes on that missional nature again of it's not just, I mean, this Hebrews passage focuses so much on the fact of us singing, but the fact that we're also called to share with those around us and not forget to do good and share with others. And that's all part of the sacrifices that God is pleased with. And that praise is a sacrifice. So I want to end with that today. And I know it has been kind of like, maybe it's been like drinking through a fire hose as far as what we're covering. But I think that this is a good start to lead in, because next week I want us to take a look at the styles of worship. Rachel and I are going to look at this from a biblical perspective. What type of songs do we see in Scripture? And what type of styles of songs do we see in Scripture? And also, as we look at worship music, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, what do we see as a template for what worship music should look like that we can use today? It is going to be a great conversation. I've told her that we've got 20 minutes, because that's what I try and keep this to, just something where we can really do a bit of a Devo together. But that's where I also think that our 20 minutes might turn to something a bit longer, which we'll have to splice and add a few more weeks into this. But I'm really looking forward to it, because it's a topic that we all want to talk about and we rarely do in church. Yet it's one that is talked about on the way home from church a lot. And so let's this week really take into account of what the role of music has for us in worship and what that looks like, and ask ourselves where our hearts are in worshiping God. So why don't I pray, and we will we'll finish from that. God, I just thank you for today. I thank you that we can go through your word and spend some time in Scripture, God. And God, we know that when your name is praised, you are there. I mean, we read, God, just from your word of how evident it is. And we just pray that as we go through our week, when we find ourselves listening to music and when we feel ourselves being a part of praise and worship, God, when music is filled with praise, your glory is very evident. And so we just pray that that will be the case in our lives as we listen to this, as we head into a weekend where for us is sunrise. We finish up the book of your servant Haggai, and talking about your promises. And so we thank you for who you are. We pray that this week will be one that is filled with worship of you, and one where we will not just worship you, but we will share the good, and we will share the stories, and we will share the sacrifices with others so people can know more of who you are. And so we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done in your life and the role of music in worship of you. And we just pray these things all in your amazing name. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. I love doing this, and I enjoy it. So we will continue this next week and continue this discussion next week. And I hope you're enjoying this topic. I certainly am. And I'm really looking forward to Rachel Jackson coming on. And I will see you next week. Take care and have a great week. Goodbye.